Light the candle, Tiger!
Hi there, many thanks for joining us on the Racing Post Golf Postcast. It's Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer looking back on last week's action and, more importantly, looking ahead to two great tournaments this week and hopefully pointing you the way of a winner or two. Steve, I haven't done a postcast with you for what seems like ages. I think your last tip on it was probably Lee Trevino or something. How are things?
Yeah, very well. Yeah, Tiger Woods has won a major since we last saw you. So,
yeah, that was good, wasn't it?
Still in the warm afterglow of that, really.
Yeah. Did you cry?
Yes. Cried for about a week, actually.
Did you? Yeah. How far proper tears running down your face? I welled up. I didn't actually cry. I welled up and my daughter said, why are you getting all like that? And I tried to explain the magnitude of it, but she just thinks it's just golf. She can't get her head around that.
Well, my family understand a bit more about the Tiger Woods story, and they were quite happy to let me cry for a full week, yeah.
Oh, lovely. Excellent. No, it was absolutely marvellous, wasn't it? It was really, really good. And then last week, slightly less emotional, I suppose, but probably equally important for CT Pan, because he won the Heritage Classic, didn't he? I don't think too many people saw that coming, although producer Rob, who's behind the glass, actually backed CT Pan 150-1, so fair play to him. He must have been one of a very small number of people. So if looking back on that tournament, obviously I suppose the headline was another poor final round by Dustin Johnson. What were you kind of two or three things that you took out of that event?
Well, yeah, CT Pan's a player we've been following for a little while now. He was a former world number one amateur, so he's got a bit of pedigree, and he's only been a pro for less than 4 years. Neat and tidy player, so very well suited to Harbour Town. That was probably why producer Rob got involved. But it was very hard to back him, given how poorly he's played this year. He missed three cuts, nothing better than 42nd place. So that was a bit out of the blue. As for Dustin Johnson, it's not the first time this has happened to Dustin. He is prone to spectacular final round collapses from the front. Remember the 2010 US Open, three-shot lead, carded an 82 in the final round. Obviously, the WGC HSB champions, we'll never forget that one. That was heartbreaking for me. He carded a 77 from when he had a six-shot lead. And then again on Sunday, another 77. So I think Justin's one of these players that when the wheels come off, he finds it very hard to repair the vehicle in running. Some players are very good at correcting their swing when it's going wrong, but Dustin's not one of them. So
Can he front run though, Steve? I mean, he's won so many times. I mean, presumably he can win off the front as well, can't he?
Yeah. I don't think there's a problem with him mentally. It's just on the days when he hasn't got his swing, it can go wrong. I mean, there's not many players that get in a position to to lead going into the final round that often. So other players shoot 77 from a little way back and you don't notice them. But Dustin obviously has great chances most weeks. He tees up. So I wouldn't be too worried about Dustin. He's probably forgotten about it already. He's a pretty pretty carefree character. But yeah, CT Pan impressive. And then Patrick Cantlay was the really heartbreaking one for us last week. Did you back Cantlay last week, Bruce?
I didn't actually. Do you know, I messed around with a few. I backed Kevin Streelman because I noticed he had good course form and he managed to sneak a full place in one place. So I was pleased about that. But I didn't back Cantlay. Or if you watch the Masters coverage, did you hear how Paul McGinley pronounced it? It was Cantlay. He put an extra syllable in there. Yeah, Cantlay.
Cantlay.
So I call him Cantlay now. We're not talking about amounts, but that would have helped, would it, Steve? You were looking for payday there, were you?
Yeah, Cantlay was the number one selection, and I fancied him throughout the tournament until Pan hit that brilliant approach to the final hole. That sort of killed the tournament. But golf punting is a game of such fine margins. If Cantlay had a yard more carry on his approach to the fourth hole was the key one. He shot straight at the flag. He would have had a tiny birdie putt if it had carried an extra yard, but found the greenside water hazard, made a double bogey, and then it was a very, very difficult task from there. So, the margins between success and failure are wafer thin in golf betting, and Cantlay finished third in the end. So, full each way payout, but very disappointing.
And anyone else you thought, oh, he's coming onto my radar, he's beginning to play well, he's turned the corner, or anyone conversely who you've kind of thought, no, he's not for me?
Well, Cantlay in defeat has actually gone up. He looks so good on Sunday. I think he's the complete player. There's no holes in his game anymore. His putting's improved. So I think Cantlay going forward, or Cantlay as Paul McGinley likes to call him, I think we need to take him very seriously.
Okay, right then, let's move on to this week then. Two tournaments. The European Tour is back after a couple of weeks off. But first of all, we'll do the American tournament. It's a tournament of the difference. It's not 72-hole stroke play. It's the Zurich Classic of New Orleans at TPC at Louisiana. I always thought this used to be a normal stroke play event. I'm sure David Toms has won this for me a couple of times, Steve. But it's not. It's all different now, isn't it? Talk us through the format first before we get onto your selections.
Yeah. It used to be a standard 72-hole stroke play event, but then it's become a pairs event from 2017 onwards. So you've got 80 teams of two. The top 35 make the halfway cut. You've got four balls on Thursday and Saturday, foursomes on Friday and Sunday. Although the weather forecast for Thursday is a bit dodgy, so they may have to revise the schedule. We could go into a Monday finish. But yeah, it's an interesting event. There's a lot of rubbish teams and a few good ones.
How do you decide who plays with who? Is it like in the playground at school where you sort of got the captain and he picks the players and then just, you know, the shit ones get left to be last? And, you know, how do you actually pair up in this?
Yeah, the highest ranked players pick who they want to play with. And yeah, there's a few combinations where, you know, they just pick their mates. Other combinations like this, same management company. So certain pairings are very, very close, tight units. Other pairings, you wonder why they are together. You don't really understand it. But
who do you think's the weirdest one?
I haven't really thought about that. I've just thought about who's going to win the tournament. But yeah, they're, as I say, there's lots of really, really rubbish teams who you can immediately rule out. My shortlist was incredibly short for this. There's not that many I really fancy. So I'm quietly confident with the number one choices.
If I was betting on who's going to have the most fun out there, I've just noticed one here. Where is it? Boo Weekly and Colt Nost. That would be some pairing, wouldn't it?
Yeah. They're both big characters. Yeah. They've been talking a lot of fishing in that group, wouldn't they? They love a good fish.
What about Jim Furyk and David Duval?
Yeah. Nice to see Double D. Nice to see Double D out there again. Mm. They'll have a reasonable amount of fun.
Anyway, they're not betting on who will have most fun. They are betting on who will win. And you've got a short list of just two pairings. And just to take us through the main ones, Steve.
Yeah. Only going for two pairings. And the number one selection is Tony Finau and Kyle Stanley. Both very calm, quiet characters. I think they're going to get on very well. And both greens in regulation machines. I mean, traditionally, TPC Louisiana, the course we're using this week, the winners of this tournament, traditionally very prominent in the greens in regulation stats. It's all about churning out GIR, GRR, all about churning out GRR, as I like to call it. Not to be confused with GRR, which is ground under repair.
What's the difference? Hang on, it's very subtle.
Yeah. GRR, GRR.
Okay, yeah, I got you.
Yeah. So Finau and Stanley, very good at GRR. And, Finau's confidence levels are through the roof at the moment. I mean, he played alongside his hero, Tiger Woods, in the final group of the Masters. I mean, it doesn't get any bigger than that. I mean, anything that Finau faces from here on in is going to be less intimidating than what he faced on the final day of the Masters. And he acquitted himself well. He started the final round two shots behind. He finished the final round two shots behind, finished fifth in the Masters. That was his fourth top 10 in the last five majors. I mean, Finau is an elite player now. His long game is magnificent. And now he's joining up with a fellow ball striking colossus, Kyle Stanley, for his entire career has been awesome from tee to green. And he finished third at TPC Louisiana in the 2013 Zurich Classic. So he's proven on this course, 17 under par for the final three rounds that year. And Finau last year, he had Daniel Summerhayes as his partner. With all due respect to Daniel Summerhayes, this is a big upgrade getting Kyle Stanley as your partner. And Finau and Summerhayes finished sixth. They went into the final round one shot behind and then struggled in the foursomes on the final day. And this year, you know, if they create a chance this year, Finau and Stanley will be a rock solid foursomes combo. They won't miss many greens. And Stanley's found form at the perfect time. He not had a great year, but he took the scalp of Lou Oosthuizen in the match play and finished 21st in the Masters. Four rounds of par or better, five under par for the weekend. That's his best majors performance by a mile. I think he'd take a lot of confidence from that. Stanley's played in this when it was a pairs event in 2017, and he had Ryan Ruffles as his partner. Ryan Ruffles was about 10 years old then. I think he's only 20 years old now. So they both played with rubbish partners and have made the cut and done well. So this time they've both got good partners. I mean, you talk about rubbish partners, with all due respect to Lexi Thompson. I know you're a big fan of the Shark Shootout, Bruce. Tony Finau played with Lexi Thompson in the 2017 Shark Shootout and finished fourth. He's playing with the only lady in the field. She's off the men's tees, and he finished
off the men's tees.
Lexi was off the men's tees in the Sharks shootout and with Finau, and they finished fourth. I mean, Finau and Stanley have never had a good partner in any competition like this. Now they've both got, you know, one they can rely on. And crucially, I know you love talking about balls and equipment, Bruce. Yeah. They both use Titleist Pro V1s. So in the foursomes, they're not going to have to worry about picking a ball. A lot of teams have that problem. Could be an issue in the Garcia Fleetwood combo. Who's going to pull rank there? You both use different balls. But yeah, they'll both be using the same balls in the foursome. So yeah, I don't see any holes in Finau Stanley.
Do you think they'll get on all right?
Yeah. They're both nice guys. Both very quiet. They just go quietly about their business.
Excellent.
Yeah, I think they get on like a house on fire.
It's funny because everyone's talking about Tiger Woods. Obviously, that was the story. But if you look at Tony Finau's life story, if he'd won the Masters, that would have brought a tear to my eye as well. I mean, he was brought up in poverty, wasn't he? Is it Salt Lake City or somewhere? And his dad got him into golf by just buying him these two crappy old clubs and getting him to smash it against a net in the backyard. And it's an incredible story, that. So have you ever read that? It's a really good long-form read about the Tony Finau story.
Yeah, it's a real rags to riches story, isn't it? I mean, fantastic. He's got to the top. He's got to the top through pure talent alone. You know, he's not had a helping hand.
No.
And yeah, when he first came on the circuit, you know, he just considered a big hitter. You know, he was just a big slugger. You know, never going to really make it. But now he's matured. He's refined his game. And yeah, as I say, he's an elite player now.
Absolutely.
Good luck to him.
Okay, and you've gone for a couple of compatriots for your other selection, I believe.
Yes, next best is Lou Oosthuizen and Charles Schwartzel. I mean, Oosthuizen's been in fantastic nick for the best part of 6 months. And I think he's going to inspire his pal Schwartzel to rediscover his mojo because he's been struggling. Oosthuizen consistently performing well. Fifth in the Sim Classic, third in the Nedbank, runaway winner of the South African Open, seventh in the Alfred Dunhill, fourth in the Abu Dhabi Championship, second in the Valspar, quarter finalist in the match play, and then he contended for three rounds in the Masters. So Oosthuizen's not putting a foot wrong. He played with Brandon Grace in this event in 2017 and finished 24th. Then he joined up with Schwartzel last year. So this pairing played last year and they finished third. And crucially, coming into that event, Schwartzel was in terrible nick, as he is at the moment. But joining up with his great mate Oosthuizen inspired him. Yeah, Schwartzel seems to click when he's alongside Oosthuizen. So I think history's going to repeat itself again. Schwartzel's been struggling, but Oosthuizen will help him out. Yeah, these two are both major champions. They've grown up playing together. They've been President's Cup teammates in the last three President's Cups. And they both play Titleist Pro V1. So, yeah, no issues in the foursomes.
Okay, we'll run through the market very quickly. These are best prices. Shop around for both, not just the best price, but also the best each-way terms, which is very important. 7-1, Jason Day and Adam Scott. You can get 9-1, Garcia and Fleetwood. 12-1, Patrick Reed and Cantelay. 16-1, Rahm and Ryan Palmer. That's a slightly random pairing, isn't it? How come Ryan Palmer's punching there, isn't he, as they say?
Yeah, that's an odd one. That I think that partnership has come about from some caddies wager or something. The caddies were having a wager and I can't remember the details. But yeah, Ryan Palmer got very lucky with a bet that the caddies had to get John Rahm alongside him.
Crumbs. 18s, Horshaw and Scott Piercy, who I believe did well last year. Well, not just did well last year, they won it last year. This is an interesting one, isn't it? 18-1, JB Holmes and Bubba Watson. I mean, that could go spectacularly well or spectacularly badly, couldn't it, Steve?
Well, yeah, one for the Sherlock fans there, isn't it? Holmes and Watson.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. I mean, you wonder whether that's the reason they put it together, just for fun.
Might have done, yeah. Well, certainly very funny. 22-1, Steve's main selection, Finau and Stanley. 25-1, Stenson and G-Mac. G-Mac's back in form, isn't he? 28-1, Oosthuizen and Schwartzel. And it's 33-1 bar. Quick word on the Aussies at the head of the market, Steve. Does that not do it for you, that 7-1 Day and Scott?
No, I wouldn't make them favourites. I don't like those two. Day's been struggling for fitness and consistency. Scott is making his course debut. The people that are talking him up have been pointing towards their 2013 World Cup win in Melbourne. But I think that's overplay because that was just a 72-hole stroke play event. You're basically playing on your own and then the scores are added together at the end. So they haven't had to work together as a team before. And I don't think they'll gel particularly well.
I'll tell you what, you talk about Day's fitness problems. If he ever actually gets fit, he's going to win everything by 10 shots, isn't he? I mean, he's limping around like a wounded soldier and somehow sort of contending. So presumably at some point, he'll actually get some fitness, won't he?
Well, he needs to go and see the back surgeon that Tiger Woods had, didn't he? And just, you know, take some time off and get his back fused, maybe.
Very much so.
And come back and do the business. But yeah, I wouldn't even make the Aussies favourites. I think the favourites should be Fleetwood and Garcia. There's very few negatives in their combination. They've been thrown together because they are both Zurich ambassadors. So they want to put on a good show for their sponsors, both greens and regulation machines.
Ryder Cup pals.
Ryder Cup pals, and obviously Europeans have been dominating on the US tour this year in the Ryder Cup aftermath. So yeah, I'll give Fleetwood and Garcia a good chance. It's just they play different balls. That was the only negative I could find, and I didn't want to have three. I mean, you know, I like to do a staking plan where you know, you can have a decent stake on the ones you do pick, and I throw in a 9-1 chance, and it all gets a bit difficult.
It's a golf ball, not a golf ball. So, I mean, presumably they can play their own ball for the four balls, can't they? It's only in the foursomes, isn't it?
Yeah. It's only in the foursomes that it's going to be an issue, but it is an issue. I mean, you know, I like to play with the Titleist Pro V1. If you put a Callaway soft chrome in my bag, I'm going to struggle for a few holes. So for these boys, you know, it's fine margins. And it worked in the World Cup. You know, remember about Belgium in the World Cup? One of the reasons we backed Belgium in the World Cup last year was because they both play Callaway balls and, you know, they play well in the foursome. So I think it is at this level more than in any other level.
Okay.
It's very, very important.
Anything else we need to know about the Zurich Classic, Steve?
No, I think we've got all bases covered. Finau and Stanley to win. Oosthuizen and Schwarzel to put pressure on. And Fleetwood and Garcia will be there and thereabouts throughout.
Excellent stuff. Let's move on now to the Hassan II trophy. Do you call it the Hassan II or Hassan II?
I call it the Hassan II, but I couldn't be confident I'm right on that. It's the old king, very very into golf, wasn't he, Mr. Hassan?
Well, no more jokes about you haven't tipped a winner since the old king died. right then, Steve. This is a traditional tournament, isn't it? Normally, you know, it's one of the sort of old favourites, like the one up in the mountain, Kronsursier. By the way, we must arrange to go to Kronsursier, mustn't we?
Yeah, we do. We
keep saying it, don't we? But it never happens. I suppose with the new baby coming along, might not be this year, eh?
It's on the bucket list, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so.
I actually bought a bucket the other day. I got an amusing anecdote. Well, it's not that amusing. I've overplayed it now. But I bought a bucket the other day in preparation for the home birth that's taking place in a few weeks' time. And the fella I was with said, "I've never bought a bucket before." And I said, "Is it? You know, was it on your bucket list?" And yeah, you know, we chuckled. But you had to be there, really.
No, you didn't. I like it. although my key bit there is that I'm intrigued about the home birth.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah. We're going for a home birth this time. So we get a couple of midwives come around the house and do it here rather than the hospital. So
what's the thinking behind that, mate?
I think the thinking is a more relaxed vibe makes it easier for the tiger to emerge.
Okay, so what happens if she waters break on a Sunday evening? You've got a big bet on, I don't know, Jordan Spieth. Is it US Open around about that time when the baby's due, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, USPGA. USPGA does clash clashes with the USPGA, unfortunately, but yeah, that happened last time, didn't it? Grace came out during the final round of the Memorial the week before the US Open. So yeah,
you were getting score flashes.
yeah, I was actually. Yeah,
but now I'll
try and focus a bit better this time.
Okay, matey. Right then, so it's the Trophy Hassan II in Morocco. What sort of player tends to do well in it, Steve?
Well, the Royal Golf Dar Es Salaam, bit of a mouthful, been used since 2016 onwards, designed by Robert Trent Jones, tree-lined track, Kikuyu fairways, 7,632 yards. So this is a difficult course. The winning score has been 9 under par or worse the last 3 years. The 17th hole has been extended this year to 286 yards. That's a par 3, 286 yards par 3.
What?
So. Yeah.
It's downhill and downwind, you'd hope, wouldn't you?
Yeah, a couple of drivers for you, isn't it, that, Bruce? This course is no pushover. So, the players that haven't played an event for a while might be quite off to a slow start because, they haven't had a regulation European Tour event for ages, have they?
No, quite. Now, I'm looking at the four winners since the course moved to this, since the event moved to this track. Is it Richard Ramsey, isn't it, the Scottish fella?
Richie Ramsey, yeah.
Richie Ramsey was 80-1. Well, in that case, we made a mistake in the Racing Post because it says here. Anyway, we'll gloss over that. 2016, someone Wang beat Nacho Elvira in a playoff. Eduardo Molinari won at 150-1 2 years ago, and then Alex Levy at 25-1 beat Quiroz last year. So I've noticed the first four last year, their first name all began with A. I don't know if there's anything in that. But what I'm basically, the trend is, Steve, a lot of players at big prices were dominating these ones. So it's a tricky old event, isn't it?
Yeah. Big prices have won. And even though the course is very long, it hasn't been won by big hitters. So, but I think you need a combination of hitting it long and straight, ideally. It's a bit like the Zurich. GIR is the key stat. You know, finding safe passage to the green is difficult.
Well, let's quickly spin through the market and then tell us who you fancy. So, Juice Loughton is the 16-1 favourite. It's 25-1, bar one. That tells you what a head scratch this is. Campillo's 25-1, Jordan Smith 25-1, Zanotti, Levy, Suri, Andy Sullivan, he's 25-1. The 28-1 shots at Elvira, Eric Van Rooyen, 30-1, Victor Dubuisson, could he come back to form? 35-1, Paul Dunn, and then Bedwiesen, Hoot and Detry are 40s, along with Kitayama and Tom Lewis, and then it's 50 bar. So, a real tough one, this. Steve, you have not been as sparing with your darts as you are in the other tournament here, are you? You're gonna, it's not quite scattergun, but I think you need to have a few pot shots at this, don't you?
Yeah, this was a difficult tournament. I had a long short list, and I really respect the favourite this week. I think Juice Loughton's got a golden chance, but I just found so many players that I could get the favourite beaten with that, I've gone for six at bigger prices.
Go on then, spin through them.
And the number one is Jordan Smith. He's been playing well for 8 months, pounding fairways and greens for 8 months. I think this is a great opportunity to show off his long game class. He hits it long and straight. He's been beating up some really tough tracks lately. He was third in the British Masters at Walton Heath at the end of last year, 12th in the DP World Tour Championship, 11th for Abu Dhabi, 12th in Oman, 7th in the Maybank Championship last time out. So playing superbly. I think Smith just needs 72 holes of half-decent putting to be banging the thick of things. He's only 26, still improving. I think he'll become a prolific European Tour champion over time. He won a Challenge Tour event in North Africa. He won in Egypt, in 2016. His record in Africa generally is solid. He was third in the 2017 South African Open. He likes Kikuyu fairways, and his previous efforts at El Salam are good. Made a slow start on his debut in 2017. He was at a disadvantage because they played there in 2016. But then over the weekend, he was superb and he hauled himself up to eighth place. Last year, I wouldn't read too much into last year, really struggling for fitness and form. He had some glandular fever in the lead up to that. It knocked the stuffing out of him. For ages, he was under the weather. Can take ages to get over that glandular fever. He missed 8 cuts in 15 tournaments prior to the last Hassan. So he's in terrible nick, but he finished 52nd, made the cut, finished 52nd. Not bad in those circumstances. This time, totally different. 10 months since Smith has missed the cut in a non-major. Everything suggests he's building towards some silverware.
Okay, lovely. So Jordan Smith, the main one. And then who's your next best?
Next best is Nacho Elvira, who I know you're a big fan of, Bruce.
Very much so.
He's such an unlucky lad, isn't he? I mean, he's been knocking at the door of the winner's enclosure like a 2-ton Spanish bull. But it's just bad luck has denied him entry. It's nothing other than that. And Es Salaam was the scene of his first slice of bad luck. 2016 Hassan Trophy. It looked like Elvira was going to be winning his maiden European Tour title. But then suddenly Jinhoon Wang, who you mentioned earlier, started rolling him in off the... off the lampshades, and that's a snooker impression. I'll get muddled up. Yeah, world championship snooker. Wang's short game suddenly just turned into the greatest in the history of the game. And Elvira lost to Wang in a playoff. And then last season, Elvira and John Rahm going down the stretch for the Spanish Open title. We were on Elvira at big prices, closing two holes. Rahm edged him. And then in the Maybank Championship a month ago, Elvira was beaten in a playoff again by Scott Hend. And in the first extra hole of that playoff, Hend hit his drive smack against a tree and it rebounded into the fairway, and he went on to make birdie and beat Elvira in a playoff. So Elvira is just so unlucky.
You haven't even mentioned the unluckiest thing, the thunder.
Well, the thunderclap was really unlucky, but it didn't affect him in the end, did it? Because he made the birdie when they come back out. Yeah, the thunderclap was terribly bad luck. I mean, the European Tour obviously very, very ashamed of that one, weren't they? Because they took down all evidence of that from their websites, because They shouldn't be out there playing in Thunder. But yeah, Elvira, for listeners who don't realise, Elvira was going up the final hole with a chance to win on his backswing, wasn't it? Right on his backswing, the Thunder clap goes, puts him off, and he's well short with his wedge approach. But yeah, they went off for the Thunder. He came back out and holding a monster putt, in heroic effort, beating his chest. It looked like name on the trophy stuff. And then again, he's done by Scott Henn, who hit the tree, comes rebounding into the fairway, and he makes. Yeah, I think Elvira is the unluckiest player on the planet. He's finished second and sixth in his last three European Tour events. And, he's proven he can win at this level. He's won four times at the Challenge Tour. This could be the week he finally gets his rewards.
Well, let's hope so. And talking about snooker very quickly, Steve, who have you backed for the for Crucible glory? Or are you just sticking to golf these days?
You'll be very impressed. I haven't had a bet. I mean, I did look at it long and hard, and I thought Neil Robertson at 5-1 was my
Funny enough, I thought it was the most ridiculously short price. But anyway, we're getting off track. But I'm delighted to hear that the disciplined Steve only bets on the stuff he's confident about. And are you confident about your other four selections, Steve? Give us a very quick line on each of them.
Well, there's eight each way places with a couple of firms this week. So yeah, we have six, and there's eight each way places. You've got every chance. So yeah, another four. Romain Langasc. You know, I'm a big fan of Romain Langasc. Mm. Brilliant French youngster. Won on the Challenge Tour in September. Great record in Africa. You know, quickly built a very good record in Africa. Second in the 2016 Kenya Open. Fifth in the 2016 Egyptian Challenge. 11th in the 2017 Joburg Open. Third in the 2017 Mauritius Open. Second in the 2018 South African Open. And sixth in the Kenya Open last time out, where he topped the greens and regulation statistics. He got a big GER test this week, and he topped the GER stats in Kenya last time out. So that's a huge clue. Langasc finished 22nd at Es Salaam last year, despite starting the event ranked outside the top 450 in the world. So he's a nobody last year. He's come on leaps and bounds, and should go very well. Christian Bezuidenhout is another maiden with a big chance. Improving South African youngster, obviously comfortable in these conditions, Kikuyu fairways, etc. He's won on the Sunshine Tour, and he's in great form. Second in the Qatar Masters last month, followed up with ninth in Kenya, fourth in India, tied with Langasc for 22nd spot last year. And his world ranking, Bezuidenhout's world ranking, was 567th. So Langasc and Bezuidenhout both did very well last year, despite being very lowly in the rankings. Bezuidenhout actually made the final three ball on the Sunday and then dropped away on the Sunday. So 12 months on, more assured character, could take his chance this time. And then two more at bigger prices. Both called Adrian, actually. Adrian Ottaguri.
Well, we talked about people doing well last year. His name began with A, didn't we? So this could be crucial, this, couldn't it?
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, they factor it in. Adrian Ottaguri. Like for Elvira, Morocco is a very short hop from their home, their Spanish home. I mean, a lot of people think Morocco, Africa must be miles from Spain.
No, it's not. If you ever go down to Costa del Sol or Gibraltar, it's amazing how close it is.
You get a little ferry across the way there, can't you? Ottaguri has won two match play events in the European Tour. This is a good chance for a stroke play success because he's a steady player, finds a lot of gear. He's finished 19th in the Hassan last year, closed with a 69. And then the last one is Adrien Sadier. Adrien Sadier looks like he's found something in his game. Form figures of 31, 27 and 17 from his last three tournaments. Finished like a train in Kenya. Really good weekend in Kenya last time out. He's won on the Challenge Tour. He's only 26 years old. Good record in Africa. Finished 16th in the 2016 Hassan Trophy, despite being ranked outside the world's top 1,300. So big clue there. This course suits. Could make a mockery of a massive price.
Okay, mate. And it's all quite civilised this week, isn't it? It's sensible sort of times for Morocco because they're on pretty much the same timeline as us, aren't they? And
Exactly the same, yeah.
So that's good. So you shouldn't be too fatigued this week following the golf, should
you? No. It's nice friendly timings, yeah.
Excellent. Good. And your pecker's up, is it? You're in good spirits?
Yeah. I always try and keep my pecker up, yep.
Excellent. And where are your optimism levels this week? Naught being you've got no chance, 10, you just, every one of your tips will fill the first four.
I am confident. I say 6, but I'm aware that there's a situation there where if Juice Lewerton wins the Morocco one and Fleetwood and Garcia win the pairs event, I am going to be feeling extremely low because, I thought long and hard about those two, but they were short prices and went for more ambitious ones. So,
Ourselves slightly by saying that if listeners wanted to do the each way double of Loughton with Garcia and Fleetwood, you certainly wouldn't put them off, would you?
No, I wouldn't put them off that. I mean, I've done the Jordan Smith and Finau Stanley double, but I wouldn't put you off having a cover shot on those two.
Brilliant stuff. Okay, Steve, let's just do the recap of the tips then. So in the Zurich Classic, who are you going for?
Zurich Classic, Tony Finau and Kyle Stanley, Louis Oosthuizen and Charles Schwartzel.
Okay, and in the Hassan 2 trophy, your six selections are?
Jordan Smith, Nacho Elvira, Romain Langask, Christian Bezuidenhout, Adrian Ottagui, Adrien Sadier.
And if you're only having one bet this week, it would be?
It would be the Jordan Smith, Tony Finau, Carl Stanley, each way double.
Each way double. And don't forget, if you're doing the each way doubles, it's really important that you shop around and get the best place prices, because there's nothing worse, is there, than backing a guy who finishes sixth with a firm that are a quarter of the five, and you knew that there was seven or eight places out there. Okay, anything else coming up in your life, Steve, between now and next week that we should know about? Anything exciting you, interesting you?
Yeah, so it's going to be an emotional few days, actually. I've got tomorrow we're giving the rabbits up for adoption. The time has come. We haven't got the time to look after them anymore. Obviously, baby son coming in a couple of weeks. Don't really show them enough attention. They've gone a bit feral. Because if you don't spend enough time stroking them and bonding with the rabbits, then they turn nasty.
So who's going to take them?
Fortunately, Nicola's got a friend who's a massive animal lover, and as soon as we said we're trying to get rid of him, she was straight onto it. Yeah, so she's going to take him on. So I've got that.
How's
that
Grace going to take that?
Grace, to be fair, is she understands. You know, she sort of lost interest a bit in him. So I'm going to be the saddest to see him go.
You liked those rabbits, didn't you?
Yeah. I used to enjoy watching him galloping around the garden when I was just sitting on the bench there. So, but I think it's the right decision. You've got to put animal wellness top of your list, don't you?
Of course you do.
So there's that. But then on Saturday, I know we're going a bit off message here. Saturday, Weymouth FC could win the title. They're top of the league. If they win on Saturday, they won the league. So
Who have they got?
They're home to Farnborough. So Farnborough got nothing to play for. If there's any Farnborough players watching this, then please just turn it in, have your tummy tickled, and let Terrors win the league, please.
And will they then go up to the National League South if they win that?
That's it. Yeah. That National League South, then win that in the conference, then win that Football League. I mean, Football League is the dream, always has been.
A few years ago, do you remember?
Yeah, those were the days, yeah.
Oh, blimey. All right then, mate. Well, listen, good luck with the tips. We're back next week looking ahead to the Wells Fargo Championship and the Volvo China Open. So good luck with your bets. I'm back with the football postcast on Thursday, and then on Friday, myself, Paul Keeley, and various other judges will be marking your card for the jump season farewell at Sandown. So do please join us for all these great racing postcasts.
Give them the hole!